Hi, and welcome to Intern Ready OBGYN, a podcast aimed at helping you excel during your intern year in OBGYN. My name is Dr. Lucy Brown. I'm a resident at Johns Hopkins and your host for Intern Ready OBGYN. Hello, and welcome back to Intern Ready. Today, I'm lucky to be joined by Dr. Angela Yang. She is an incoming GYN Oncology Fellow at Penn, and she's a current fourth-year resident with us. We're really excited to be doing an episode on how to approach your first GYN Oncology Clinic. This is actually an episode I've been wanting to do for a really long time because I really struggled with my first onc clinic, and I felt like I didn't have a good framework on how to approach it. So let's go ahead and get started.
Hey, Lucy. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to chat about preparing interns for their first gyn-onc clinic. As Lucy said, it can definitely be very overwhelming the first time since everything can be so foreign compared to the rest of what you're exposed to in OBGYN, and the clinic can often be very fast-paced. So my hope for this episode is to give you a framework for your first gyn-onc clinic, what types of patients you might see, how you should approach different types of visits, and to explain some of why we do what we do.
Excellent. So let's start with the big picture. What are the main types of visits interns should expect?
Yeah, so there are a few main types of visits. There's new patient visits, chemotherapy clearance visits, and surveillance visits. And each of these visits serves a different purpose. So you should approach them a little bit differently in terms of what you're looking for when you prepare for these visits and what you ask patients about during the visit.
So let's start with new patient visits. How should interns approach these visits?
This is where you should focus most of your energy as an intern. You'll often see these patients in clinic, and you should definitely pre-chart these patients beforehand if you do.
Mm-hmm. This is honestly a reoccurring theme with a lot of our episodes, that pre-charting is going to just set you up for success. So what is your approach reviewing these patients before clinic?
I always start with the simple question of, why are they here? Do they have a new diagnosis of cancer that has been confirmed on pathology? Or do they have a concern for cancer based on their history and or imaging, but this has not yet been confirmed on pathology? You'll hear the phrase, the tissue is the issue, because you cannot definitively say that a patient has cancer without pathology confirmation, such as from endometrial sampling, targeted biopsy, or surgical pathology. And then some new patients not only have a known cancer diagnosis, but may have already undergone some cancer treatment with another gyn-onc, and they're now coming to your clinic seeking a second opinion for next steps. And lastly, another common category of new patients you'll see are those who have a hereditary cancer syndrome, such as Lynch or BRCA. So the reason for the patient's visit frames everything else you look for in their chart and ask about in their visit.
What are the key pieces of information that you look for when you pre-chart?
Yeah. So I would follow a similar flow to what you would do for any other new patient, because this helps you make sure you don't miss anything. So starting with the HPI, how did the patient present to care? What symptoms did they have? Then I look for the workup that they got for their symptoms. For a uterine primary, I look for endometrial sampling and any imaging, such as a transvaginal ultrasound or a CT abdomen pelvis. For an ovarian primary, I look for tumor markers, such as a CA125, in addition to imaging. For a cervical or vulvar primary, I pay attention to their pap smear history and any colposcopy procedures, biopsies, leaps, or cold knife cones. Then I move on to the rest of the patient's history, their medical and surgical history. I'm particularly looking for comorbidities and medications that may need to be addressed prior to potential surgery or treatment, or that may affect their candidacy for these things. And then I'm also looking for any prior abdominal surgeries that may impact the complexity of any planned procedures. And then I want to know if the patient has any family history of cancer, in which relatives, what types of cancers, and their age at diagnosis. And then lastly, I check if they're up to date on all of their preventive screening, not only pap smears, but also mammograms and colonoscopies.
Yeah, that's a very comprehensive list of like things that you're going to be checking in on for a patient, because you don't want to miss anything.
Right.
So now that you've read all about this patient, what do you do during the actual visit?
So obviously, you know, you've taken a lot of time to look in the patient's chart. And so I preface that, you know, I've reviewed the patient's chart, but I usually like to still ask the patient about their understanding of what brings them into gyn-onc clinic, of their disease, if it's confirmed, and of next steps. Usually the referring provider has already started some counseling, and this helps me know where to start when talking about the plan later on in the visit.
Mm-hmm.
But before getting too far ahead, though, I confirm the information I found on chart review and fill in any gaps. I often also ask about the patient's functional status, whether they do everything independently or if they need assistance. This translates into the patient's ECOG performance status, which also helps us evaluate the patient's candidacy for surgery or treatment. And then in terms of physical exam, I perform a heart, lung, and abdominal exam, and I defer the pelvic exam until I'm with the attending.
So what are we looking for on our abdominal and pelvic exam?
Yeah, it varies a little bit based on the type of cancer that the patient has. For patients with endometrial cancer, they are usually early stage, so their uterus is usually normal in size and mobile, but I would assess for this on bimanual exam and check that there are no signs of extension into the cervix on speculative exam. For patients with ovarian cancer, if they have an adnexal mass, I would also assess for size and mobility. For patients with cervical cancer, the physical exam is particularly crucial because it plays a huge role in cervical cancer staging.
Mm-hmm.
On speculum exam, you want to see if there are any visible lesions, and if so, how large it is, and if it extends into adjacent vaginal tissue or parametria. You should also correlate these findings on bimanual exam as well.
So let's move on to chemoclearance, which is also can be kind of overwhelming. Can you review some basic terminology related to chemotherapy for our new interns?
Definitely. You're not expected to know the nitty-gritty of chemo as a resident, but just to give a broad overview, there's multiple classes of systemic therapy. The backbone of most treatment regimens for GYN cancers is what we typically think of as chemo, cytotoxic agents such as carboplatin and paclitaxel that target rapidly dividing cells and induce cell death. You have also probably heard of immunotherapy, such as immune checkpoint inhibitors, which use the body's immune system to target cancer cells. And one that we commonly use for GYN cancers is pembrolizumab. For patients with ovarian cancer, you may see the bone of PARP inhibitor, such as olaparib, which prevents DNA repair. And then for patients with hormone receptor positive disease, where their tumors are estrogen or progesterone receptor positive, we may use hormonal therapy, such as letrozole, which is an aromatase inhibitor. There's also many newer targeted therapies that take advantage of specific mutations in cancer cells that you'll start to come across as well.
Yeah, and this is a lot of like big words, big chemo terms. We'll make sure to include all of those in the show notes and everything that Angela's been going over. Also, as an intern, I was really confused about the concept of neoadjuvant versus adjuvant versus maintenance therapy. Could you go into those a little bit?
Yeah, I would say that these terms are super helpful in helping you quickly know where a patient is in their cancer treatment. Most commonly, patients receive adjuvant chemo, which means that they undergo surgery first and then chemo after. For patients with advanced ovarian cancer, some may receive neoadjuvant chemo, which means that they're undergoing some chemo before surgery. And the idea behind this is that hopefully the chemo will be able to decrease the patient's disease so that a debulking surgery may be more feasible and optimal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for patients with ovarian cancer, they may receive maintenance therapy, which is additional treatment after initial surgery, and chemo to decrease or delay the risk of recurrence. PARP inhibitors and bevacizumab are often used for this purpose.
And then what's the purpose of a chemoclearance visit?
These visits are patients who are on active treatment or on some type of systemic therapy for their cancer. And the purpose of these visits is to make sure that patients are quote unquote clear to continue their treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that patients are tolerating their treatment well, that they're not experiencing significant side effects, and that their labs are within an acceptable range. Some side effects may be dose limiting, which means that their oncologist may have to modify the patient's treatment regimen, whether that means decreasing the medication dose, using an alternative agent, or simply discontinuing the medication without replacement. You also want to make sure that the patients are responding to their treatment, or at least not progressing or having worsening disease while on treatment. Usually, we look to imaging for this, often a CT chest, abdomen, pelvis, or a PET CT, and sometimes tumor markers, such as a CA125. If the patient's disease is progressing while on treatment, then their oncologist may similarly modify the patient's treatment regimen. Of course, you're by no means expected to know how to manage a patient's treatment as a resident, right. But this is just to give the big picture context.
Right. And I think just making sure you're asking the patient the right questions about how they're tolerating the chemo. And then just like Angela was saying, the chart review to know, is the patient even responding to chemo based on imaging? And then you can present your findings to the attending, and then they're going to make the ultimate decision about changing the regimen, switching, doing a dose reduction. And then how do you prepare for a chemo clearance visit?
You usually don't have time to pre-chart all of these patients before clinic, so I usually review these patients' charts right before I go in to see them. This means you have to be focused in what you're looking for in these couple of minutes. So I start with their last clinic note and look at their one-liner and oncologic summary. What type of cancer do they have? What stage is it? When were they diagnosed? Have they had surgery? And if so, what procedures did they have done? Is this their first chemo regimen, or have they had others before? And of course, what specific regimen are they on now? When was their last treatment? And what cycle are they about to get now? Then I looked at their last note to see how they've been tolerating their treatment and what side effects they've had, if any. I looked to see if we're following any tumor markers or imaging, when we last got those, and when they're next due. And then I move on to the labs themselves, paying attention to at least their ANC, their hemoglobin, platelets, creatinine, electrolytes, and tumor markers, if any. And finally, I look at their last imaging. Did it show no evidence of disease, partial response to treatment, or progression of disease? What are the sites of the patient's disease?
And what do you do during the actual visit?
Just like with pre-charting, I keep this focused. How did they tolerate the last cycle? I ask them about their previously reported side effects. Are these worsening? Are there any new side effects? I try to look up key side effects of the patient's regimen ahead of time so that I can be sure to ask about these. And then I run through a quick review of symptoms, for example, asking about fatigue, appetite, and nausea, vomiting, and I perform a heart, lung, and abdominal exam.
Nice. So let's move on to surveillance visits. What is the purpose of these visits?
Yeah, so these are for patients who have completed treatment, usually surgery with or without adjuvant chemo and or radiation, and who currently have no evidence of disease, but we are monitoring them for any signs of recurrent disease. Different types and stages of cancers have different guidelines for how we monitor for recurrence, how often, and for how long, based on the risk of recurrence for the patient's specific type of disease. For example, for our patients with early stage endometrial cancer, we usually perform a history and physical every 3 to 6 months for the first 2 to 3 years, then every 6 to 12 months for up to 5 years, etc.
And then how do you prepare for these types of visits, these surveillance visits, and what do you do during the actual visit?
I approach these similar to chemo clearance visits. I use their last clinic note to see what type of cancer they had, what surgeries and treatments they've had, and for how long they've had no evidence of disease. I see if they've had any chronic side effects from treatment, and I see if we've been following any tumor markers or imaging. During the visit, I ask if they've experienced any new symptoms, and similarly, ask a review of symptoms, such as any changes in weight, appetite, abdominal pain, bladder or bowel function, or vaginal bleeding.
All right, that's such an excellent summary of all the different types of visits, and I think it puts it in nice boxes on how to approach each one, and it gives a really nice framework. So do you have any recommendations for resources to use? I don't know how to remember, certainly, like when somebody needs their next surveillance visit, when somebody needs to get a new CT scan, that kind of thing.
Well, I always love to start with UpToDate as a great place for an overview for any topic I'm interested in. There's so much to learn in gyn-onc, but as a resident, topics I would review over time for a bigger picture context would include for endometrial cancer, risk factors, surgical staging, and fertility-sparing management. For ovarian cancer, the approach to the complex adnexal mass, tumor markers, and surgical staging. For cervical cancer, risk factors, pap smear guidelines, and colposcopy, LEAP, and cold knife cone procedures. And for vulvar cancer, risk factors and treatment options. I would also review hereditary cancer syndromes, particularly Lynch and BRCA, and the guidelines for surveillance and risk-reducing surgery. For the nitty-gritty details that you were sort of alluding to, I would highly recommend creating a free account with the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or NCCN, as you'll find extensive guidelines for each type of cancer. And even as a fourth year, I inevitably pull it up during every clinic to look up specific pieces of information that you were referring to, such as staging, next steps in treatment, and surveillance guidelines.
Yes, I feel like during when I'm in onc clinic, I always have the NCCN guidelines pulled up in one of my tabs, because it's just like, essentially, you can scroll through and get all the answers you need. So let's do a quick recap.
Of course. I would say that your typical day in gyn-onc clinic boils down to a few main types of visits, including new patient, chemo clearance, and surveillance visits. When you're preparing for the clinic ahead of time, you should primarily spend your time on new patients, figuring out why they were referred, what workup they've gotten, and going through their history systematically as you would do for any other new patient. And then for chemo clearance and surveillance visits, I use the last clinic note as my guide to figure out what type of cancer the patient has, where they are in their treatment, and their most recent labs and imaging.
Honestly, oncology clinic is some of the best learning I've ever had in residency. You learn so much medicine. You learn how to do a very thorough physical exam, particularly your abdominal and pelvic exam. So have fun with it and learn, you know, be a sponge, like learn as much as you can, even if you're not going into oncology. They're some of the best teachers you're gonna have. So thank you so much, Dr. Liang, for joining me today.
Yeah, it was so fun to be here.
Thanks for listening to Intern Ready OBGYN. We hope you found today's podcast helpful. Don't forget to subscribe below, rate the podcast, leave a review, or suggest a new episode.